Testing 1, 2.
Test 1, 2. What's going on, everybody? Paul Hickey here with nooffseason.com. Welcome to a very, very special edition of the Sports Card Strategy Show, just baseball style, baby. We've got Aram Layton on the show, the founder, owner of justbaseball.com, the publisher, the wizard behind, I would say, 99% of the content. No offense, Kendall. So we're pumped to talk to Aram. And Lefty's here. Lefty's going to run the show. But I just want to make the point that baseball prospecting, honestly, from a sports card strategy perspective, is number one. It's like super low risk for baseball prospecting. And we can break that down in a second. But we want to get to justbaseball.com's top 100 list. It's about to be updated. Aram's here. He's going to graciously share some things that are coming. A little preview. Aram, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm excited to be here, man. I appreciate you having me on. And it's kind of the first, this is the first conversation I'm publicly having about the top 100 list. So I'm excited to do that. And we should have it out in the next few days. So pumped to talk about it with you, and excited to be at this booth in the National. You guys have an awesome setup.
Thanks, man. It's we've come a long way since last year.
100%. Literally, yeah. You've come a long way from Spain, and then also come a long way with the setup here. It's been really cool, and also the National is just an absolute monster now.
It's unbelievable. Love seeing you face to face. It's an absolute treat. So, on a friendly level, thank you for being here. Thank you for the time. On a professional level, I know the audience wants to get into some baseball. Lefty McKee's obviously in the house. We've got the top 100 list on justbaseball.com that we're looking at right now, but Aram on his machine has a sneak preview of what's to come in about a week or so. So, Lefty, take it away, brother.
All right. Aram, thanks for coming on, dude. I'm not sure how much our audience knows, but we've been boys for a long time. This mic, Paul, geez.
I know.
we've been boys for a while. I also work for you at justbaseball.com. And love that you're spending some time with me, and we get some FaceTime. We see a lot of each other over text and email and FaceTime and whatever, but not a lot in person. So, man, it's cool to see you.
It's great, man.
So, we're talking top 100. Definitely, Paul and I were talking last night here at No Off Season and here at Sports Card Strategy Show. We cover all sports. Mm-hmm. But my emphasis is in baseball mostly. And we were talking about how the prospecting of baseball is totally different than all the other markets here at a show like this. Mm-hmm. Because rarely anywhere else is Topps and Panini and whoever producing cards that are investable for guys straight out of high school.
Yeah.
You know, Jackson Holiday, how old is he? 18?
19? He's 19, yeah.
How old's Churio? 18? 19?
19.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah. Where were you when you were 19?
Far from here.
Yeah,
I can tell you. Far from where they are, too.
I can tell you I was far from a baseball card. I can tell you that. Well, maybe not geographically, but definitely far from being on a baseball card. And so it's just, this is a different sport in terms of prospecting. Mm-hmm. And tell me how you've used your knowledge and, like, your passion.
Yeah.
Tell me how that has collided with you also in sports cards, and then also talk about your dad and how you guys collected together.
No, I appreciate that kind of follow up there, because that's a big reason of why I'm in this. And I always collected vintage, and I still do. I mean, my father, you know, passed away when I was a freshman in college, but from when I was 5 years old onward, we had always had this weird just intrigue of Hall of Famers and vintage cards. And, you know, my dad used to get a kick out of the fact that, like, I was 6, 7 years old looking into baseball history and things like that. So for whatever reason, that was always my interest. I wanted the 33 Gaudis. I wanted the T206s, obviously very expensive. Of course, I'd go to the baseball card store and go get the Miguel Cabrera rookies and, you know, go get those cards that, you know, were players that I enjoyed. But really, it was the older cards that I wanted to collect. And, you know, now that he's no longer here, and I have that staple of all of these cards that he had saved for me that I found after he passed away, and, you know, I'm never going to sell those. It's like there's no price, unless it's the down payment on my family home, that I'm ever going to sell those cards. So I had this desire to, like, get into the hobby from a transactional standpoint of, like, I want to buy some cards that I'm excited about that I'm okay with trading for another card or selling it. And that part was missing. And as I got deeper and deeper into baseball in terms of the journalism side and the prospect analyst side and just covering the minor leagues, I'm like, this is the perfect way to do it. I can put my knowledge to the test. So it's cool because, you know, I have my vintage cards that I buy and hold and kind of just stow those away almost like a savings account. And then I have the Bowman Chrome Autos and, you know, the Bowmans and, you know, maybe the Topps Chrome Rookies that I can chase and test my knowledge and put my money where my mouth is, because I'm talking about prospects every day, maybe not through a card lens per se, but I've realized through the years, as you know, just baseball has grown, as my prospect podcast, The Call Up, has grown, that a vast majority of our listeners are card collectors. And after about a year of the show, I had so many people in my DM saying, please tell me you collect cards. Like, you could be doing pretty well right now, or at least have a pretty awesome collection. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. So I got into it, and the rest was history. And I've learned a lot through our conversations from the, you know, the collector side, and then also kind of just following what people like to look for in prospects, and then, you know, maybe what they're missing by not, you know, just being entrenched in you know, the second layer of just being in the backfield, sweating their butts off, and, you know, having the data and the information and kind of bridging the two.
Yeah, I love that. And we'll get into the prospecting angle here in a second and how people can make some money.
Uh-huh.
But one of the traditions that I think you developed was to treat yourself to a box of a certain year of Bowman Chrome baseball. Elaborate. Talk about that.
You've seen me get killed now twice on it. 2019 Bowman draft is one of my favorite things to rip. And I still think it's expensive, but it's still too cheap for how good the I would say the entire checklist is. And it became a big, I think, fun rip for me every time we come out here, because that was one of the first top 100 lists I put out on justbaseball.com. A lot of those guys from that draft class that I just really loved. And you got Corbin Carroll, you've got Josh Young, you've got Riley Green. I mean, it goes on and on and on. There's a lot of really talented players in there that I think you could pull maybe the sixth or seventh or eighth best auto, and you're in good shape. I mean, it's bad now, but I pulled like a pitcher auto. I'm like, oh no. And because you just tell the arm when you're pulling it down. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's a pitcher. Yeah. Alec Manoah out of 50. Sold it before the whole thing happened with Alec Manoah, you know, just kind of forgetting how to pitch, unfortunately. But it's a cool draft class with a lot of talent, and it's just been one of my favorite to continue to rip.
Yeah.
And it's crazy now. We've been doing this long enough. All these guys are graduated, and a lot of them are, you know, getting their footing as rookies in the big leagues.
Yeah. I love that you do that. I love that you have that tradition. And so let's get into, you know, some of the Just Baseball Top 100. But before we do that, talk about how you and Lefty, like, first found out, how you first kind of realized that the Bowman Chrome prospect, first prospect cards could be like a potential penny stock that would materialize into a big stock someday.
You know, I think the number one thing was that Lefty could kind of give me the idea of what the industry was thinking.
Yeah.
And you know, he would say, there's a lot of buzz around this guy. What do you think? And sometimes I'd be like, oh, there's merit to that. And sometimes I'd be like, really?
Yeah.
There's buzz with that guy? And nothing against maybe X or Y player, but it was just like, people are putting their hard-earned money behind that guy. Or, you know, we'd start comparing prices with certain prospects, and I'm like, dude, that does not add up. You know, and of course, it's not always the same when it comes to prospect ranking and player card value, because there's a lot of variables. And, you know, sometimes we'll rank a prospect because he's an unbelievable defender, but nobody really cares right about that from a collector standpoint.
Or that, a pitcher, to your
yeah,
point.
Yeah, or a pitcher as well. But that was one thing where we started talking about, and he's like, oh, yeah, the market's going nuts about this guy. And so I started to see some of the commonalities of the guys that maybe the market, quote unquote, overvalues, and then the guys that the market, quote unquote, undervalues. And tying back to his point originally, do you guys ever call him Kendall on here, or is he always?
We do.
I don't want to say Kendall, and people are like, who?
Yeah.
He's Lefty. He's got the alter ego. But, tying back to the original point of Jackson Chourio and Jackson Holliday, those are two of the more established prospects at 19 years old. So there is so much room to identify players that are just totally overlooked. We really kind of tunnel vision some of the very exciting names, which is great. I mean, that's any sport, any hobby, it's going to be like that. But I just felt like there was so much more room for identification in the prospect world, because there's so many players, there's so many underrated guys, there's so many gains that are being had on a month-to-month basis. And as someone who's covering the sport, you know, in depth, watching as many minor league games as I can every day in person, on you know, rewatching other games, back end data, whatever I can get, you can really see there's a lot of change happening, and unfortunately, but fortunately, the market can't always keep up with that. And I love to try to like usher people towards those changes. And I know Kendall and I have been able to kind of do that over the last couple years.
Yeah, I think to answer the question as well, I know you asked Aram, but for somebody, when I was talking with Aram, I realized that we had a little bit of a niche because Aram specifically was coming up with guys that no one had ever heard of. You know, it's like almost, I mean, even Aram was like, who is this guy? And then he's like, oh, wow, this guy's pretty good. And Indy Rodriguez was definitely one of those that we've talked about a lot on the show. And we, a lot of our audience really profited from, but a lot of me and Aram really profited from, and a lot of our guys here at Just Baseball. I don't know how he was so hidden, but regardless, that was one of the first ones. But I remember the first thing that really got me into, holy crap, like, this is really valuable, plus there's a niche here that if we know before they get valuable that they're going to be good, this could really pay off. And I remember when it was, I believe it was Wander Franco's out of five sold for like $250,000. We put it in our group chat and he was like, there is no way. There's no way this is $250,000 for a baseball card. And I remember that one was kind of the first eye-popping moment to me to be like, we've got something here.
Yeah, because it was my thing is I love Wander. I think he could be one of the best players in Major League Baseball for a long time. But you look at that price range, it's like that guy has to be a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, for that price to work out. And it was like,
yeah,
I think we can identify players that are somewhat close to that. I mean, he's been a human. So he's been really good, but he's been a human since he's been in the major leagues. And the other thing is, there's so much talent in professional baseball right now that people don't realize. Of course, a lot of first-round picks become elite players. Jackson Holliday, the number one prospect in baseball, was the number one pick in the draft. Of course, that's always going to be the most direct correlation. But there's a lot of really good players, and I'm talking like players that are going to be MVPs, that were drafted late or signed for nothing. Elito Cruz was a $60,000 international free agent I fell in love with on the backfields. And I'm like, am I seeing something different? Like, what am I missing here?
Yeah.
Andy Rodriguez signed for $10,000 and was traded straight up for Joey Lucchese, which is exactly when I told them to buy because I dug into the trade. And I was like, oh, the Mets messed up here. So there's just a lot of area to really cook. Curtis Mead, one of my favorite investments. Guy was signed out of Australia. I don't even think you can find the exact amount that he signed for because it was so little. I don't think it's even reported. So there's so much talent out there that you can find so many underrated players in baseball. And I don't know if there's any other sport like that. Basketball, once you get out of the lottery, yeah, it's very rare a guy's going to make an impact. Football, it's quarterback driven. And, you know, you're not going to identify a quarterback that's underrated because there is no such thing.
Yeah.
So it's really hard. I mean, of course, there's guys that could turn into MVPs that were, but you're never going to find that $20 auto.
Yeah.
That turns into a couple $100 auto. And in baseball, it happens every single year.
So here's the thing I love about the crossover between justbaseball.com and nooffseason.com and sports card strategy is that you're genius level baseball prospector, prognosticator, like for real. And so I think it can be intimidating for the average baseball card prospector to try to synthesize through what's going to happen on that end, because we're never going to have your knowledge level of it unless we go to justbaseball.com and read everything, which I hope everybody does. But what I like about the card angle, the investor angle, people will ask me, well, isn't that risky? To your point about Wander, like you said, he has to be a first ballot Hall of Famer for this to pay off. So people will say, isn't that risky? And I'm like, well, let's look at the pattern recognition. And what's not risky? What's not risky is buying a prospect that you know will get a call up and that you know will sit in the top 25 prospects until he does. Yeah. That's pretty generally not risky to find those guys. Now, are their prices high? Sure. But are their prices going to likely double at call up? Lefty and I have basically tracked out for the last couple of years together, and the answer is yes. Like, unless there's an injury, unless there's like a Khalil Watson type of situation, right? You're going to, so there is
which
risk.
I told Kendall, by the way, to
props
stay
to
away.
You, props to you. He was loud about it too, and he was like, Aram's like, don't touch Khalil Watson. Thank you for that, by the way.
Got you.
Our listeners, thank you for that. But like Jackson Churio, dude, like I've been telling everybody on the last probably what, six episodes of our show, like, I'm just buying Jackson Churio because I'm looking at what's happening with Ellie And I'm like, I'm not going to hold Churio past call-up. I'm not going to bank on him doing an Ellie. 100%. I'm just going to sell. What do you think? I mean,
no,
that's the strategy to me.
It's an excellent point because, and I think that's a part of it that people may miss. And honestly, I didn't look at it that way until more recently, which is, look, I'm trying my best. And ultimately, these prospect lists, I'm trying to rank guys based on what their big league career is going to be. But at the end of the day, these rankings, like, it's based on, and most scouts that I talk to and evaluators, and you know, I'm always like, at the end of the day, what are we ranking? Like, what's the criteria? And I think the best rule of thumb is trade value at the time, because you want to know what these guys are worth. So ultimately, I'm looking at trade value
in the MLB.
If this guy was traded for, you know, the way the rankings work is like, if, you know, in the preseason ranking, Yuri Perez was 4 and Grayson Rodriguez was 6. By that logic, I would not trade Yuri Perez for Grayson Rodriguez, and that looks pretty solid now. Yep. Grayson's going to be good, but like it's just a difference.
But by that logic, also Grayson Rodriguez was above James Wood.
At the time, I would have probably kept G-Rod.
Really?
Just because he was such a high probability big leaguer, Wood was far off in terms of a big league trade. Now I'm just talking about
positional differential.
Yeah, and that's a side of it too. I've soured a little bit more on pitchers as time has gone, but the biggest thing is, I don't know what these guys are going to do for 15-plus years, and no one does, not even teams. Like, it's impossible. We're trying to predict that. Scouts are always trying to predict that, and that's what's baked into the rankings and things like that. But at the end of the day, that's the hardest thing in the world to do, and you don't have to do that as a collector, because I can almost, with a high, high level of confidence, I can tell you which guys are going to succeed in the minor leagues and get called up with hype. It's hard to know how guys are going to respond to big league pitching and how they're going to respond after their rookie season when the league adjusts. Look at J-Rod this year. He's going to be good. He's going to have a phenomenal baseball career. But he's got like a 7-10 OPS in his second season. Like, baseball's hard. And there's so many variables that at the big league level, it's really, really hard to be able to dive into and fully be able to predict. But I feel very confident in my ability to say this guy will be a top X prospect by the time he gets called up, and will get called up to the big leagues. And to your point, Paul, like that's exactly why I feel confident in what we're doing here. Because at the end of the day, you can predict the minor leagues a little bit better.
Well, Aram, we're going to get to the top 100 list, and then in your interpretation of the new list as well in a second. But I need your help here. Paul and I disagree on one player. Well, more than one player. Kenny Pickett. But on a baseball player, we agree pretty, couldn't be further apart on an investment potential of, you want to?
I know who it is. Yeah, yeah. Drew Jones. I did make a point the other night that you said that's a good point.
I love it.
Yeah. And so my point is, so I'll let you clarify your side in a second. My take on Drew Jones is hype. And a couple years ago, I would have been scared to buy into Drew Jones because his prices are way too high. I'll be the first to admit, like, his prices are too high for the prospect he is, but I'm not playing that game. The conversation we just had, I'm not playing the game of Will Jackson Churio do anything good in the major leagues. I don't care. I care about selling him at call-up for a profit. And that's like a formula. And that's going to be the formula with even Drew Jones, because even if he falls on his face, he will get a call-up one day, right? Mm-hmm. And he likely is not going to be outside the top 50 at that point. Unless Aram might sell me the other direction on this. Maybe I'll change my mind at the end of the episode. As it stands right now, hype train Drew Jones, pricing is not that bad, and as long as he gets a call-up in the next couple of years, people will make some money or break even. Lefty, am I wrong?
Here's what I'm worried about. And here's my cross point, and then you can have your argument. I'm sorry for butting in here.
Nah.
My cross argument is he was drafted in the same draft class as Jackson Holliday. And if you're going to spend the money on either one of those players, they're both going to have hype. They both have major league fathers. They both play premium positions. But the one I'm going to go with is the historic franchise that's better at bringing up prospects in the Baltimore Orioles. Would you argue that against the Diamondbacks?
Right now, especially.
Okay. I mean, at least in the last 5 years.
The Orioles right now are a development machine.
Okay, and he's got all the other intangibles, plus he's killing it at Double A. So that's my argument, is that I would rather invest in Jackson, a guy like Jackson.
Oh, definitely.
Holland, rather than a guy like Drew Jones.
But what's the price difference?
I mean, Paul, you can look up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like impossible to get a Holiday right now. They're like not even really for sale. Which, you know, that was Ellie last year. Like, that was Ellie in January. I went to Culture Collision in Atlanta, and you couldn't find Ellie. I was asking dealers, and they're like, we're not selling Ellie. That's probably smart. So there is a Drew Jones base auto raw, first just base auto. I got a couple for under 250. So I own two Drew Jones. I'm all in, less than $500. They're at PSA right now. And if they come back nines or tens, which they will, hopefully 1.9, 1.10, worst case scenario, and I'll sell them for a profit. So I would agree to own more stock in Holiday, but I wouldn't say that Drew Jones in a vacuum is a bad play. I think so. That answers I would say the comp on a Holiday would be at least double.
Okay,
Drew Jones, to answer your question.
So my thing on Drew Jones is...
And I do have the numbers when you're done.
Yeah, so Drew Jones is an interesting one because in terms of pure physical talent, I mean, it's very special, and that's why he was, you know, the number two pick in the draft. But my challenge is I look at the swing right now, and it's just not... It's not going to play. But he's 19, and he was at the complex. He's not playing games right now. Why? To work on his swing. He could come back with a cleaned up swing and go nuts because he's Drew Jones, son of Andrew Jones, who's extremely talented, hits the ball hard, and is as good of an athlete as you're going to find. So, you know, for me, you're kind of just betting on the development there. And as you point out, a number two overall pick, and this is the one exception to what we're talking about, you know, $60,000 international free agent, you got to be really confident in your evaluation of him because he's not going to get as many chances as a number two overall pick. Drew Jones, they will push him up, even if he's hitting a .170. I don't think he will. I think he'll be better than that. But they will push him up because he's an elite defender. That said, am I buying Drew Jones cards right now? Like, I'd rather try to find, you know, lottery tickets or, you know, players that are $30, $40, $50 or even $100 Bowman Chrome Autos that I'm really confident in. But I can say with a high degree of confidence that Drew Jones is not going to have the same swing next time we see him, and that the Diamondbacks, Andrew, and his father are well aware that that swing's not going to play professionally, and he'll adjust it. But right now, he's just a long ways away. But you can play that game, and you know, you're betting on talent there, and you're betting on a franchise that's going to do everything in their power to make sure that Drew Jones works out.
From a sports card strategy perspective, the three of us are aligned. Aram likes to do a different thing. He likes to find the diamonds in the rough. He's good at that. And then he finds their card. What's the right card? You made a great point. Your best point in this whole argument between you and I is the money that you could be spending on Drew Jones, you should be spending on Jackson Holiday. So I love it. I think love where we're at with this discussion.
Yeah.
And just so to kind of anchor what we're talking about. Drew Jones, Bowman Chrome Auto, market movers right now is at 197, so almost $200, which probably means you have to pay a little bit more than $200, to be honest. But then the Jackson Holiday is at like 370. So almost double. And what we're talking about here is a guy that's one position higher in a draft, but also performing outrageously well at the minor league level and doesn't have holes in his swing. Regardless, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm just saying, save the $200 you're spending on Drew Jones, because I believe there will be opportunities that you can buy in on Drew Jones when it's a can't miss. Right now, he's got that hype train from being recently drafted, all that kind of stuff, which is what we talked about with Khalil Watson. But there's now an opportunity, and I think last time we talked about him, you were like, well, he's actually turning some things around.
He looks
and
better.
So, like, but the market came way down before we were like, okay, now it's comfortable.
So that was going to be my follow-up, too. And you know, when I talked about off the top, which was, like, where you can make money in terms of it and where you can identify things that just the market's not going to be able to keep up with. Again, I'm the second Drew Jones is back on the field in an actual game setting, I'm watching. And if I see different movement patterns in his swing and I see, you know, better swing decisions, then I'm in. And that's the cool thing is you know, we're going to be able to be ahead of that. And, yeah. and you know, that's why on Twitter, all if Drew Jones has a swing change, there'll be an article on justbaseball.com saying Drew Jones, you know, cleans up the swing and looks good. Yeah. And then we'll have the numbers and the data to back it up. So that's the cool thing about it, too, is there is so much variability for better and for worse in these players that, you know, if you can identify that and see how many how much more there is to gain. Like, I'm always looking at, you know, players in their bodies as well, right? Like, you got Evan Carter, that was a guy that we had preseason top 10.
Hell yeah, go Rangers.
Yeah, preseason top 10. Nobody had him in the top 40, 50.
Yep.
And, you know, because he didn't have the crazy home run numbers. The bat-to-ball skills were great. The tools were good. And I see a guy that can grow into way more power. If I start to see those exit velocities jump a little bit or whatever, like, you can really push those chips forward. So there's a lot of malleability to these players. They're young. They're projectable. They're on professional weight programs. They're with professional coaches. And if you can catch those changes and those subtleties, both directions, you can do well.
You guys do an amazing job at justbaseball.com of scouting players and trying to assess their potential MLB trade value. And that's how you said you ranked the top 100. Looking at the top 100 right now and then knowing that there's some updates coming, give us an overview of what you can share with us about what you got cooking.
Yeah, so I would say number one is pitchers have never been less valuable to me, except for Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens should be the number one pitcher.
Yeah, he's an animal. He's a freak.
You know, Yuri Perez, he's not technically graduated, yeah. So he doesn't fit. But if you look at the top 100 list this year, or this update that we'll have probably right after the trade deadline, I don't think I've ever had less pitchers on there, and I don't think I've ever had more pitchers lower. That's not to say don't invest in pitchers, but I think, you know, if you're going to buy a pitcher, there's some guys in high A, low A. Like, I was talking about Jacob Mizorowski before the Futures game. That's a guy that throws 102, has some command questions, but I mean, every pitcher has so much risk. I'd rather pay $15 for some guy that throws 100 in high A and see what happens than, you know, even Grayson Rodriguez, right? That was the most foolproof pitching prospect.
Yeah, we were so high on G-Rod.
And he's still trying to figure it out. He's going to be really good. I don't have a lot of concern about him. But what if he's closer to a 2 or a 3?
Sucks for his card prices.
Exactly. So that's my point. But you can get some guy that's $15 in high A that if he ends up being a 2 or 3, like, people are chasing that. George Kirby was one of those for me. Nobody wanted him because he was some guy out of Elon. And I know he's a first-round pick, but he wasn't on top 100 list and whatever. I scooped up a bunch of George Kirbys when you and I first got connected. So, like, that's an example of that. But looking at the top 100 list, I'd say pitchers are falling. Jackson Holliday is, you know, and I'll give away some little nuggets. I mean, but this is an obvious one. Jackson Holliday is in his own domain. You know, going into this year, it was like Gunnar or Corbin. Most people had Gunnar. We had Corbin, but you could make the case for either at number one. This year, this update here, it's Jackson Holliday. Then there's a gap, and then there's everybody else. So that's putting some merit to the Jackson Holliday mania. But it's also saying, like, if there's some cards that are in that range of Jackson in this prospect world, I don't know if that's possible right now. That might be a little too high.
Yeah, I think, and just to talk about, an interesting episode, by the way, would be really unique as if we said, okay, we're all about making money. We're all about taking a $1 bill to a $10 bill and 10 to 100, et cetera, et cetera. What would be really interesting is not looking at the top 100 list and finding which pitchers were worth the risk. For instance, I bought Owen White for $3. And then when he balled in the fall league, I sold him for like $30.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's crazy. That's 10x, baby. You can 10x an investment all day. But we'll go back to this because that is something that probably is for a later date. So when is your list dropping?
I think right after the deadline.
Brilliant timing, by the way, because everybody's going to be like, who the hell is this prospect that I just got on my team? For instance, we've got two gentlemen that have been really working hard with us. Shout out to Harry and Alan that have been working with us this week at the booth, interning with us. But they're big Chicago White Sox fans. So obviously Chicago is unloading like crazy, and they've been asking me about some of the guys. So there's going to be guys that are going to lists, and ours is doing pretty well on SEO, Pat Just Baseball on the back a little bit. But what I'll say is our list looks a little bit different. And sorry, listeners, when I say our list, I also work for Just Baseball, if that's confusing.
Yeah.
But anyway, our list looks at things a little bit differently talk about, so gas yourself up a little bit, Aram. I know you're a humble guy, but gas your list up a little bit, dude. You work really hard on it.
Yeah, it's definitely my Jack McMullen, our co-host of the Just Baseball Show, and also co-hosts the Call Up, our prospect podcast that we do a couple times a week. He calls it like my magnum opus, and honestly, it is the thing I'm most proud of. It takes me, I don't want to give an arbitrary number, but a lot of hours, a lot of hours. I mean, it's dozens of hours every week. When the workday's over, that's when I get to get into it. But it's watching in person, conversations with scouts, teams, evaluators, diving into the data that I'm fortunate enough to have access to through sources, and then just connecting as much as I can and trying to put it all together. And, you know, people are always looking at, you know, you got to watch these players. Absolutely. You got to see their swing patterns, their movements and things like that. Then does the data back it up? Do those two things cross over? A lot of times, and I think the craziest thing is, of course, you got to look at production, but a lot of these guys, like, they're just on the cusp of big production, but people can't see that because they don't have the in-person looks. They don't have the underlying data that's not available to the public and things like that. So I put a lot of time into that with these rankings, and that's something that I'm really proud of. And, you know, it's not just here's 100 players, just trust me on the rankings. It's here's 100 players with 500 words plus on each of them as to why I rank them where. To you know, otherwise I just feel like, what am I doing here? Why should you trust me? Why should you believe in what I'm doing? You know, I want to feel like I'm giving people a reason to believe number five being Jackson Chourio before the year instead of just, oh, they have Chourio at five, you know. So that's something that I definitely put a lot of time into. I'm proud of the work, and I'm glad people enjoy it, because it'd be pretty funny if no one did. It'd be a lot of work for nothing. But it's been cool seeing the, you know, the interest around it grow, and you know, it's definitely something that I like referencing back to. Where did I go wrong? Where did I get, you know, where did we go right? And just getting better every single time.
I will say this, the undercurrent of the people who know what they're talking about believe wholeheartedly that your list at justbaseball.com is far superior to MLB.com's list. Far superior. So I will say that. I will say that right now. And then I have a question for him that I've been dying to ask somebody who knows what's up with this. Lefty, but you're calling for the mic, so what do you got? No, you're good. Okay, here's my question. Our listeners ask all the time, what is the best resource to understand which prospects are about to be called up? Now, I spent some time this year writing some fantasy baseball articles for fantasyguru.com, so I did a lot of research trying to figure that out. I always say justbaseball.com.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like, nobody really knows, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
talk about that. Like, what is the best way to figure that out?
Gosh, I mean, it's a great, great, great question. The Call Up, we do probably, ironically the name, literally, on that podcast, we do a lot of, like, every couple weeks checking in who can be promoted soon. And there's a lot of things that go into it. I'd say, you know, you obviously have to look at the big league roster. What's the state of this team? Do they have a reason to be a little bit more aggressive with this prospect? Because it's not always just, oh, this guy's hitting 300 in AAA. Why is he not up? Mason Wynn right now with the Cardinals, putting up unbelievable numbers. He looks really good. But they're not going to bring him up if he can't play every day. He's been on a heater, but, you know, they're going to wait till the deadline. They're going to probably trade Paul DeJong and try to trade some guys.
Arenado going to the Dodgers?
I think he's staying fat. But right. If for whatever reason they don't move anybody, then I don't think Mason Wynn's going to get promoted anytime soon, even if he's hitting 500 over the next couple weeks. So I think you got to look at the big league situation. And then another thing that I think people often overlook, and is maybe the most important thing to most teams unless you're in desperation win now mode, is, are they in the 40-man roster? Yeah. You're not just going to throw a guy on the 40-man to call him up. Just because you want to get him some big league at-bats, yeah, if you don't need to, because you got to move somebody off the 40-man. Now, some teams are so bad it doesn't matter, right? If you're the Kansas City Royals or whatever, like, they'll DFA some guy that, you know, had a 5 ERA out of the bullpen throwing in the sixth inning. But, you know, if it's a pretty good team like the Reds, let's say, and let's say Christian Encarnacion Strand wasn't up for argument's sake, and you look at that active roster, you're like, who are they booting off? You know, who's going to move? And you look at the 40-man, you're like, there's not really a place to put them. Then, you know, I think you can say with a high level of confidence. And then the last thing I'll say is, local beat writers, there's no one that's going to have a better feel for the roster implications. You know, as much as I think we have a decent feel for it and put a lot of time into it, I get a lot of my information from either reading or texting local beat writers. Hey, you think they'll really DFA yes. this guy to bring this guy up? And they'll say, no, they love him. Even though he's got a 6 ERA, they're not going to just DFA him. There's a lot of situations like that, and it's hard to get a pulse. But if anyone's got the best pulse, it's the local beat writers.
I could not agree with you more on that call. Local beat writers is a great call. All right. I lost my train of thought. I had a great question for Aram. Go, Lefty.
Well, first out, I love the local beat writer is strongly undervalued 100%. These days because of the way that news media has kind of monopolized itself yeah. in terms of clicks, because the SEO and people are paying for advertising. So that's why Twitter is so important to me. It's my favorite social media. I tell people that all the time. If you're in cards or if you're in prospecting, you've got to be on Twitter. But the reason why, I mean, like, Kennedy Landry, she does great work for the Rangers, and she's, you know, who I follow religiously. And so shout out to Kennedy. You've done a great job. But, I mean, you have friends all over the Marlins market. And so it's like those guys need us to be pushing them. They need representation.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Like, and so, like, we are pro beat writer, baby. Mm-hmm. And so I love that you brought that up. I wouldn't have brought that up today, but I'm so glad you did.
And it's something that I think, you know, is needs to come back a little bit, and I think it will as people start to have that desire for the individualized coverage. I think it got, like you said, it got a little bit too centralized, and you know, that's something that I'm dreaming on at just baseball, having people covering every individual team. We have writers that make sure they give every team their due, but the beat writers are there. They're in the clubhouse. They're around. They understand. They have the full pulse, and that's how you're going to get the full idea of what's going on, especially when you got like a Yuri Perez situation, really unique. You know, and I had to talk to a lot of different people to get an idea on what he's going to do, and the vague answer I get is the goal is he's up, you know, at the end of the first week of August, and that was a report I put out. We'll see how it goes, but, like, I had to connect with a lot of people to find that out, and, again, like, that's my most plugged-in team. I don't have that with some of the other teams to that degree where they're, you know, finding out where the prize prospect's going to come up. But other local reporters do for other teams, and you know, that's how you got to get it.
JustBaseball.com, Aram Layton, bring in the knowledge. I'm going to be asking Lefty on the Sports Card Strategy Show, like, every week, does Aram know anything about Drew Jones? He said something about Khalil Watson. He mentioned a little nugget that he looks better. What does that mean? Elaborate on that. Ask him about what happened in the staff huddle and see if we can get Lefty to say something about. Just we're just looking for opportunities. You know, we're all trying to do the same thing, right? You know, we want to. I think the reason I love the content is it's like, I can be a GM of a team. Like, that's why I'm in cards.
It's
like
fun.
It's like, I don't really, I mean, the joke on our show is that, like, all I care about is the money because I don't hold cards. Like, everything I get, I move out of right away. But the reality is, like, I just want to be a GM. And yeah. So to me, like, my cards are my players on my team.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then, well, and that's why we rank it kind of as such. Like, any GM, of course, there's more moving parts to it, but you're trying to acquire players at a lower value and then maximize their value with you. And unfortunately, you know, most teams should just extend those guys and hold on to them. But how do the Rays operate? They trade Blake Snell with 2-3 years of control because they're selling them high and get a slew of prospects. Like, that's how some of those small market teams, that's how they operate. They sell players at their peaks and they identify players at the bottom. I mean, they identified a Junior Caminero, who's one of the more popular chases in the hobby now. That guy was traded for Tobias Myers straight up.
Horrible trade.
A horrible trade. Tobias Myers is now on his third team since and, you know, never even, like, really threw for them. I think they're, like, 2 innings with the Cleveland Guardians. So it just shows you, like, it's the same thing. They're identifying opportunities to buy low on prospects and players and things like that. And that opportunity is always there. The last thing I'll say on, like, the top 100 list specifically, I'm happy to go over it with you guys in a couple weeks or whatever and talk about some of the names. This update is going to have about as many new names as any ever. Update as we've had, and a lot of fun names that, you know, you might be like, ooh, I haven't heard of that guy or whatever. There's a lot of young talent that's climbing up quick, and I'm excited about that. So this top 100 is going to be a very different looking from the preseason.
So I got a real quick recap, so you could just kind of, you don't have to give us everything. But because you're my boy, I'm going to ask you this question. What was your favorite mover up, favorite move, or I guess favorite mover down, if that makes like the one
least
that,
favorite guy,
the least favorite guy, and then a guy that you're really excited about moving into the list for the first time. Or yeah. maybe that's the same answer. Maybe the biggest mover is the guy that's first coming on the list.
Yeah, so there's a couple guys that are jumping up the list, or you know, kind of jumping onto the list that I'm excited about. I think Josue DiPaolo with the Dodgers. I know Dodgers prospects are always going to be a little bit more expensive, so sure. But that's a guy I look at.
Well, he's a card darling. His cards are moving.
Are they moving? Then that might be a little bit of too high of a price there. But there's just so much to like there from a data perspective, from a swing perspective. That's just a guy that can really play.
Nice.
But I would say, and then I know Sebastian Walcott's going to be a very popular
name. Let's go.
That's going to be a very popular name very soon. It's funny. Some of the guys that I really like may not even have cards yet, which is the craziest part. But Xavier Isaac with the Rays.
He has redemption on him.
He does, and they're already coming in. I bought a bunch of redemptions. I've already got them in. I have one with me right now. Xavier Isaac with the Rays is a name that, you know, obviously wasn't on the top 100 list going into the year. He was one of those first round picks where people were like, who? And I'm a huge fan of his and a huge fan of his bat. And that's a guy that they're starting to go up a little bit, but they're still cheap. That's one that I would really like. And then Gabriel Gonzalez of the Mariners. I don't know what his market looks like right now. That's a guy that I think is going to have some major, major helium. He's playing out of his mind right now. Got promoted to high A. But, again, another guy that you watch him, it's a swing that you love to see from a 19-year-old. The data is unbelievable. The numbers on the surface are unbelievable. And he just keeps getting better every time you check in. Him and Cole Young with the Mariners are two guys that I'm very, very excited about. In terms of, like, concern, a guy...
Gabriel Gonzalez.
Yes, Gabriel Gonzalez.
Bowman Chrome on card auto last sold $39.
Dude. Yeah.
Oh, wait, no.
Oh, I love that this happened. So this actually is a common occurrence. That is not a Topps issued auto. That is a in-person sign.
Oh, it was
after
in-person
the pack.
Auto.
Yeah, so... What do you got, Lefty?
Yeah, my bad. $100.
Oh, wow. So it's going up. Yeah. I still think he's a good purchase. And then, I know people don't love catchers. Diego Cartaya, though?
Yeah.
Is his market, like, tanked?
No. I mean, it's not there because of how long he's been in cards.
I'm not touching that guy.
Like, you're not?
He's going to fall pretty far on our list.
Just terrible.
He's just too many concerns. That's a guy that, like, he has the Dodgers prospect appeal, and I...
Well, let me ask you a guy that's been around for a while. This guy's been in cards for a while. And I actually was in him and a couple years ago. Now I'm out of him. Now I'm back in him. Colby from Just Baseball, we did Just Baseball show a couple of weeks ago. We did the Sabermetrics where we drafted or we filtered fan graphs all the way down and blah, 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 named like five. Colby Mayo.
Oh, I love Mayo, man. I actually just had him on the call-up, too. So you, like, when the makeup checks out, too, and you got a kid that you're just like, okay, this guy's really smart. And can break down his swing and is really intuitive. We broke down at bats. I do a live stream on the YouTube with guys after we have them on. I do a full podcast episode and then we hang out for 15 minutes. I pull some of my favorite at bats from them and I have them walk me through their at bats. And I did that with Kobe. And the way he was breaking down his at bats, I'm like, oh, this is why he's 21 and in AAA already. Mayo is one of my favorite prospects. He's going to be somebody that's in the top 20 in our update, just to give people like a little bit of a heads up. He will be in the top 20. He was preseason 82, and we were the high guys on him.
Preseason 82.
And we were the high guys on him.
Wow.
Yeah, he wasn't even on list.
Let's go. Good
call.
Maybe
Fangraphs. Maybe Fangraphs had him in the top 100, but I'm not sure anyone else did. He's going to be top 20 for us. He's checks the power box, the projection box. The numbers are there. And then one other name that I really like right now, I mean, there's risk, but I think you can get his autos for $30. Ryan Clifford with the Houston Astros. Houston Astros, I know people hate them, whatever, and it's a great opportunity to make money because once they're great, they're great. Ryan Clifford has some unbelievable power. He was an overslot guy in like the 11th round, but he got like second, third round money. He's putting up big numbers. He's hitting home runs 115 miles an hour, and I just picked up an auto for $30. So that's another one that I like.
Here's another question. Maybe one of the last questions we get to. Boston Red Sox... They suck. And I'll say it. You don't have to say it.
They're playing great right now, unfortunately.
Well, okay, fine. Well, they still suck. Give them some hope. Who's number one and two in their system? And talk about how it's a little bit different than what you originally thought.
Yeah, so this will be our one little spoiler. Marcelo Meyer, I'm a big fan of. But I do think that this is one of those guys that the market's really high. There's, I don't know if he's going to be a 30 home run guy that hits 280. Like, he's not Corey Seager, but I think he's kind of priced like a guy that, you know, needs to be a perennial all-star shortstop. I love his glove. I think he's going to hit for some power. If he's 20 to 25 home runs and hits 260, 265 and plays great defense, that's a phenomenal everyday shortstop, but that's not a guy that everybody's desperately chasing in the hobby, and I think he's priced pretty high. Roman Anthony is the best Red Sox prospect for me, which is crazy. I think.
Wow. Let that sink in.
And that's in our top 100 list. Roman Anthony is going to be ahead of Marcelo Meyer.
Whoa.
And Roman Anthony is a guy that could play everyday center field, can hit for power, can hit for average, can steal bags. Like, that's a five-tool center fielder. And I just think there's more upside there. Yeah. As weird as that sounds, because Roman Anthony was a second-round pick. And again, another example of that. Out of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, guess what? Same high school as Kobe Mayo.
What? No
same
way.
High school as Anthony Rizzo. Same high school as Jesus Luzardo. Same high school as Colton Welker. Same high school as a lot of different guys that are really talented.
They got high school cards?
I wish, dude. That would be so cool. But it's a pipeline. But beyond that, Anthony is a special talent. And everything checks the boxes eye test-wise.
Phenomenal info. We want to let Aram get back to the National because we are at the National. Lefty, you get one more question, and then we wrap it up. Do you have another question?
He's always got another question.
You have three, so think of one. He's pissed at me right now.
What's your question?
Your question.
I know, but you've got to have one.
I wanna tease having Aram back another time. I want him back. Because he said a minute ago, he's like, I'll come back and we'll review the top 100 at justbaseball.com.
Absolutely.
That's what I want to do with you, Aram.
Let's do it.
Okay.
We'll break it down when it comes out.
All right. I mean, I feel like this is an amazing wealth of knowledge and that our listeners are going to be taking all notes on all the names that Aram talked about, and they're going to be immediate. Like, this is going to create a little bit of a hype cycle for a lot of these prospects, I think.
Love it.
Okay, Lefty, wrap it up, baby.
All right. I'm going to be selfish. Talk about Luis Angel Acuña. Is he going to be Acuña?
No. He's not going to be Ronald Acuña, but he's a really darn good player. Okay. He's going to jump up the ranking. Ronald Acuña, like, if he was a prospect right now, like, there is a legitimate case that he has 380 grade tools. We've never really seen that. Like, maybe Eliodo Cruz and him.
Yeah.
Like, those are the only two guys that have, like, 80 grade tools. Like, his arm is 80, his speed is 80, his power is 80. Like, you don't see that. But Luis Angel's a really good hitter. He's got above average power. And you know, they've got the bloodlines. He could grow into a bit more. I think he'd be a really good player. And he's so good that the Rangers are trying to find ways to get him in the lineup. Like, he's a really good defensive shortstop, but he's been seeing some action in center. He's been seeing some action at second because I think their plan is to, if they can hold on to him, they will. If not, he's a major trade chip for a star.
Yeah, so this week we'll find out.
He's going to be a really, really good player. I think he's a good buy if he's, you know, not $150.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
He's definitely a top 50, 60 talent on the prospect list.
Wow. Okay.
I know our audience is, like, always hungry for a ton of baseball information, so this is awesome. Like, I highly encourage everybody to go geek out at justbaseball.com, like, all the freaking time, because, like, you guys are all a great audience. I want to welcome in Aram Layton to the nooffseason.com family. Sports Card Strategy Show family, officially part of the show, part of the fam. So thank you again so much for your time, man. Hopefully this is just the beginning of being able to create content together.
Absolutely, man. Looking forward to getting the feedback on the top 100 and breaking it down with y'all.
We can't wait till it drops. We're going to promote it. We're going to send people there. And keep up the good work, man. Really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening to the Sports Card Strategy Show special edition with Aram Layton from JustBaseball.com. Special thank you to Lefty McKee. Great job. Love you, brother. Everybody have a great day.